Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I want to read for you a little passage. This is not mine, but a little passage introducing this particular feast day. Today is the exaltation of the cross. It stems from the truth that apart from the cross, there is no other ladder by which we may get to heaven. St. Rose of Lima said that. Christ won our salvation on the cross, redeeming us from sin and meriting all the graces we continue to receive through the sacraments. Exalting the Holy Cross each year encourages us in the midst of our own sufferings, assuring us that suffering is a sign not that God has abandoned us, but that we are being invited into closer union with our Savior. This is why Christians see themselves as a people under the sign of the cross, the sign of their salvation. It is their ensign, their banner, their cover, their plea, and their glory. It's written by Thomas Howard. Brothers and sisters, do we acknowledge that this is the feast of the exaltation of the cross? Just think of it this way. God died for you, not for billions, though he did do that. He died for you. Do you thank him? Do you draw closer to him? Do you repent when you sinned? Do you give him glory and honor? Do you sing songs to him even in your own heart? This is the feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Ask God what he has done for you through the cross. And then spend this day as a day of joy and thanksgiving for what God has done. The first reading for today is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, 4b through 9. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food." In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph mounted on a pole, and if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Listen to the mercy of God. They've just been so belligerent and unkind is probably the least you could say. But yet he sees that they receive healing. Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Brothers and sisters, we don't do that anymore. We turn to God directly, because that's the way God wanted it. Our faith is strong enough to turn to him directly. And if you don't think your faith is strong enough, tell that to the Lord. Just say, "Lord, help me to believe. Whatever way you choose, just help me to believe. Or help me to make my faith stronger." Because you bring great honor and glory to God, who gave his life for you and for me. I often think of that when I wake up in the morning. He died for me. And then I ask him to accompany me through my day. Sometimes there's surprises, but most of the time it keeps me faithful to the Lord. It says here in Psalm 78, "Hearken, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I open my mouth in a parable. I will utter mysteries from of old. While he slew them, they sought him and inquired after God again, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues, though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. But he, being merciful, forgave their sin and destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused. What a God we have! What a Lord! What a Messiah! What a Savior! The Son of God has come to us. He is with us. And he hears every word you say and every word you're thinking. You say he can't do all that. Yes, he is. He's God. He can. And he hears us. So tell him you're sorry for the ways in which you've turned your back on him. May this be a great feast today for you. If you've been away from the church, this is a day to take a long look at the cross and see what God has done for you. What will you do in return? And then we have the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend of those in heaven. Notice this. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Take some time just to meditate on that passage from the second chapter of Philippians. And now we take a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verses 13 to 17. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." He's lifted up before us on the cross. That's not in this reading. That's what I'm saying to you. Take a long look at the cross and what God has done for you. I recommend highly that you every day stand before the cross for a few moments at least and thank God for what he has done for you and ask help where you are in need. But first, gratitude. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's why Jesus was given us, so that we might all be saved. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to read one part more again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And it's helped by you coming before him every day on the crucifix and just saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Help me. Help me to turn away from my sins, my bad habits. Help me." God will take it one at a time. But if you are genuinely sincere in that prayer, God will come to you in his great grace for you because he loves you. Brothers and sisters, I just want to read a little portion of Jean de Coeur or Jesu Delby. This is what he said. "You must realize that throughout your life, at each step, you will find the cross of your divine model, your king crucified and crowned with thorns, Jesus. Mass and communion are inseparable from Calvary. There is no reparation without penance and sacrifice. In the apostolate, the money to buy souls is suffering. accepted with love. Suppress the cross in your life and everything crumbles. Hear that again. Suppress the cross in your life and everything crumbles. The cross is the structure. As it bore the Savior, it bears salvation, and so it must bear us also and all our works. I know without asking that all of you have suffered and you will suffer again. I am sure I will be giving you great comfort in speaking to you about the price of the cross. Never look at the cross without Jesus, if I must bear the cross alone. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that everything you have that is good is from God? And God wants to give you more. But don't you want to turn to God first and thank Him? Even if you just barely got through the day, thank Him for making that possible. Thank you for a very tiring day, not because you like it, but because you can offer it to your Savior, who sees that you are seeking for more grace to seek Him and to follow Him. We want this day to be a cross that is the triumph of our lives. The triumph of the cross is the triumph of our lives, and that's where we want to be. I read Father Jean de Cour, and he said, "How can we be subjects of a king crowned with thorns, receiving communion every day at Mass, at his sacrifice, and yet run away from the cross? That would be to forget that the cross is a marvelous invention of divine mercy, which gives us the occasion to prove to Jesus that we love him. What is a love that does not prove itself? I told you that love is a choice. What merit is there in choosing Jesus if we only have to follow him on a path of roses? How would we know whether it was he or the roses on the pathway which we were following? He wants to be loved for himself, not for his gifts. He does not want the experience of the rich who lose their friends when they lose their money and can no longer give presents. He is jealous of our true love. Without the cross, there would be many more faithful in the world. But would there be loving souls? For all eternity, he wants to be able to thank us for having chosen him in sacrifice, for having shared his cross with him." That's what I say, brothers and sisters, to the Lord, even when I've had a minor accident or hurt my hand or my foot or something like that, just say, "Thank you for letting me share in your cross." Brothers and sisters, he wants to draw us to himself. And you say, "Well, I'm not holy." Well, but he makes us holy. He helps us to become holy. Turn to him wherever you are, whatever state you're in. Turn to him and say, "Lord, please help me to become more like you. Show me the way." May this be part, really part, of the great feast of the triumph of the cross. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.